jump for the laser button. Praise God. But God started showing me how we're living in the past. We're holding on to everything from the past, and we're letting it define who we are, good and bad. You know, my time as a Marine was over in 93. It changed who I am today, but I'm not an active duty Marine. And no, I can't hang with those guys. As a matter of fact, I didn't like forced marches then, don't like them now. I'm like, hey, we have vehicles with wheels for a reason. I was in motor transport. I talk a big talk when it comes to, hey, I'll whoop somebody. Listen, the reality of it is, I talk a big talk. But what I've learned is when you talk a big talk, you usually don't have to walk that walk. People will respect you. I just do. I'm kind of like when there's a snake that when it's attacked, it actually rears its rear end up and flares its tail. So it looks like a cobra because it's actually harmless. That's me. I just do know how to bite. But anyhow, so a lot of times we live in the past on who we were. I know people that are stuck in high school. Go to your class reunion. There's the click. They're picking on the same people. It's 35 years, people. Give it a rest. But we're stuck back here. Who we were. He's not there. We're going to look at this. Make sure I got... I'm just pushing buttons now. I might be in trouble. Yeah. Okay. That's a laser. Huh? No, it's not that. It's actually with the computer. Are we? Did you select the thing up top? Okay, I figured you did. He said technology is great. Which, by the way, to those of you who were watching last week, we later learned that the sound was terrible because the phone we used decided that the memory was full and it wasn't going to record for squad anymore. So that is one of those things we're going to be looking into here: is getting it a lot better and actually possibly getting it off of Facebook. The reason being, those of you who understand what Facebook, the Nazism, their fascists that they are, like to mute things because they don't want the truth out. So, but we can put it on our website and people can have free access. Tell you what, Carsey, you figure it out for a minute. I'm going to keep moving. I know it's working because the laser was working. But yeah, so we're going to be looking at something like that as soon as we just get some things figured out. It takes a little bit of money. It takes a little bit of infrastructure on doing all this stuff. So, but anyhow, is it going to work? Please? It worked fine last week. But in Luke... There we go. She found it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. She's going to work on it. Yeah, it's on the green. All right. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. This is when the women went to the tomb where Jesus was at. That behold, two men stood by them in their shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." We're seeking life in things that are dead. Your time as star quarterback is over. My time as a Marine is over. But my time as a father, a husband, a grandfather, that is now. As a pastor, that is now. That is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be looking back. Yeah, it forms who we are, right? You know, I don't know much about Rich. I know a little bit about his past. He's told me about some of his four-wheeling excursions and stuff over the years, but I wasn't around when he was growing up. I was around, just not in the same circles. But I don't know him as whoever he was back then. I know him now. I know what he does. Does what he is his job actually define who he really is? Not all the time. Because, you know, even preachers can be scoundrels. I know a few. Nurses can be bad people. Doctors can be bad people. Do we need to go down lawyers? We know some good ones, okay? We have a friend. Your job doesn't necessarily define who you are. Your actions define who you are. What you do in a tough time defines who you are. When you're cornered, will you make the right decision or will you act foolishly and think just about yourself? You know what a lot of us do, don't you? We think about ourselves only. And we do the foolish thing. We don't think about what needs to be done for somebody else. As Joyce Meyer says, "What about me? What about me? What about me?" It's all we think about. And these women were coming there, and these angels said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are we looking for life amongst what happened to us?" Okay, so they said something bad about us. Are we going to camp out there? Are we going to stay there? A lot of people do. I'm here to tell you, there would not be any need for counseling if people would leave the past in the past. Quit dragging it up with you. Your past is what you've overcome if you leave it. If you keep bringing it with you, it's an anchor. You're never going to get past this stuff. So many people, "Well, you know, my childhood..." Well, nobody's childhood was peachy keen. We all had some tough stuff to go through. And guess what? Our parents were trying to figure it out. Let's go back. My generation, my dad's generation, they were sending them to Vietnam as soon as they turned 18. And it wasn't looking good for them. The generation before that, World War II and Korea. We were sending our young men off to be killed. For what? In some of these cases, World War II, I agree. Korea, Vietnam, I don't. I'm sorry. I love our vets. You need to understand that. I supported our troops. But why were we there? To save face. We put people in harm's way for something, people that didn't want to fight. Guess what happened in Afghanistan? Iraq. Same thing. They wanted us to fight, but they didn't want to fight. We leave. What happened? But we have this whole generation. Now we've got another generation of children. But you've got to let that go. My grandmother couldn't let go that her brother was killed in Vietnam 1 week before he was due to rotate home. He stepped on a bouncing Betty. That's a landmine that about explodes, shoots up about 5 feet, and then explodes again. He was on his way home. So when I enlisted, she didn't talk to my mother for 2 weeks. Wouldn't call her, wouldn't take her calls because of her experience. And as history now proves, me and both of my brothers served. And one of them has combat action ribbons and medals. But we lived. We survived. And that's what they're, what the one brother is getting hold of. It doesn't, what happened doesn't have to define who I am now. I'm in charge. I can change. But trauma that happens, we like to hold on to it because it kind of, we let it define us. And then we're afraid. It helps us build walls. It helps us keep those things. It keeps people away. It protects us a little bit. You know, my grandmother would have loved to have built a wall around all of her family. You know, if you've ever paid really attention to the song The Wall by Pink Floyd, it's exactly what was happening. Because of somebody else's fear, they built a wall around them. And they couldn't get out. We build walls around ourselves to protect us. Well, I'll never let anybody hurt me again. Then you'll never trust anybody again, to and include God. You will not trust God. You will trust only on yourself because that's what the world teaches. But guess what? We have to have each other regardless of what's happened. What you find out real quick in, you know, in the military is you may not like the guy on the other side of the transit from you, but when the bullets start flying, you have to. You have to put your faith in that person. You have to trust them. That was hard to do. I don't know about you, but you know, when it comes to your life, and you're saying, I got to put my hands, my life in his hands, I'm the only one. I'm my own Savior. And here's where we get ourselves in trouble with this. Jesus is not back here with the stuff of the dead. If we look in the Bible many, many times, he is the living God, not the dead God. But we treat him as if he is a dead God. You don't understand Jesus. Yes, he does. He may not have actually been in your exact situation, but he was tempted in all ways that we could have ever possibly been tempted. And then some. I mean, nobody's ever offered to give me the world. I mean, come on. Might have taken it. That's why. But the things that are dead, they left them alone. Do you know that? That if you had a family member who died, you took care of them, but you were unclean for a week. Multiple purposes. One, it's death. Two, to stop disease. We look in the Bible, this. Why did they separate the people with leprosy? Some of the diseases that were categorized as leprosy are eczema. Things that people today, a cream takes care of. Thing or can help. Psoriasis. Any condition that actually ate the skin. God had them separated, one, not because it was highly contagious, for their protection. Now when it got on their face, and then it does things to you. But it was for their protection. People were pulled away for their protection, so they could heal. But what happened is they started getting mistreated. Oh, you were the leper. No, not anymore. I'm not a leper. See, we judge people by their past still. I know who you were. You're this, but I accepted Jesus Christ. I don't care. This is what I'll always remember you as. Then guess what? God's going to have to remember you as that because you refused to let them receive forgiveness from you. I don't want that. I don't want to have God say, you know what? You won't forgive this person that hurt you. I can't forgive you. And it's not that he can't. It's the devil will bring back my sin. And when I stand there, I took it out of the blood of Jesus. I took it away because I became my own savior. I know it kind of sounds a little contrary. People talk, well, you know, the blood just washes it away. The blood covers it. God casts it from his memory as from the east to the west. He chooses to forgive it, but guess who doesn't? We call him the accuser of the brethren. And he's going to be standing there. And he's going to say, Harold, look what I got on you. I got the goods on you. Jesus is going to be standing there saying, no, he's acquitted. At this juncture, those sins are, amen, they're dissipated. They are gone forever when we stand before God. Let's see if this is working now. Okay. Don't know why it's not working. Oh, did you do it or did I? I don't know. I was just pushing buttons. All right, so this is now Paul. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Remember what I just told you? I can't judge Joe by his past. He is now in Christ. I mean, I don't know Joe. I mean, he's been in the area forever. I mean, her family knows everybody, and they just grew up right down the road, went to the same school. But let's say Joe's a real dirtbag, okay? Let's just say he was just a scoundrel. I mean, he was stealing stuff, smoking stuff, dealing stuff, shooting people. But he found Christ. Paul said, you can no longer judge him by that past. Now, it's not saying the law can't judge him for those actions. We like to think, oh, well, I'm no longer accountable to the law. Well, the law of the land you are. You kill somebody, they're going to find out. But just because Joe was a jerk back then doesn't mean I can judge him now. And I shouldn't judge him. But I should look at his life and see who he has become. Who he is now. That's what Paul's saying. We can't look at people in their past. You might say, well, I mean, I wasn't exactly a hellion, wasn't a hell's angel, but I was a little bigot. I thought about that this morning. It all started because I was a bigot. My trouble with one person in school started because I was a bigot. Was. I told you, God found a way to burn that out of me. My senior drill instructor was a black man. The man who stepped on the bus at Paris Island was a big man. And he stood on that bus and said, get off my bus. Man, people were crawling out the windows. You try to do that on a Greyhound. Some of my best friends were black men. Different countries even. Tavares, he was from the Cape Verde Islands. Pretty good to go guy. Liked him. We went to Myrtle Beach together. My first CO at my first unit, a black man. God made sure he was going to take that bigoted bone and grind it out of me. But it only got completely ground out of me when I started loving people the way he loved them. And that's how it happened. But you can ask people, they said, well, we didn't know whatever your problem was. I know what the problem between that guy and I was a bigot. And he was the only black kid in our school. He had an uphill climb the whole way because I wasn't the only one. And I didn't make his life any easier. So we no longer can regard one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't know Christ by the flesh anymore. We know him now by the Spirit. Let me see if I'm the one or if she's... I did it, right? Oh. I'm so downtrodden now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is not here with the dead anymore. Who I was in school is dead. I'm not the same person. I'm not that bigoted, little, timid twit. I'll stand up for myself. I stood up for other people too. I stand up for myself now. I've always stood up for other people. But I don't judge a person because of the color of their skin anymore. I look at you, are you a jerk now? And if you're a jerk now, guess what I will tell you? You're a jerk! You don't need to confess that. That ain't a confession. Sometimes people need to know they're a jerk. If you don't know, I didn't know I was a bigot. Until God showed me. Because the problem is when you come from a primarily white county, you go to the military, even though all but one of the guys that I went to Paris Island that night with, they were black. Good to go guys. Cool guys. Had no problem with them. Except in here, I had a problem. And God started turning that. He began changing that. So all the stuff that happened to me as a child, it's dead. All the things that happened to me as a young man, they're dead. I learned from them. I learned when somebody lies about your wages, walk off the job then. Well, that don't sound... I don't care when you lie to me how much I'm going to support my family on. I'm leaving. And I had that my first job out of the Marine Corps. But I had been taught, well, you start a job, you stick to a job. I made that money hand over fist and got lied on time after time after time. And then they started stealing my work, giving it to somebody else because he owed him money. He'd come in on the weekend and do my work. I learned, when you lie to me about my wages, we're done. I'm a different person. I don't hang around. And I'm going to tell you right now, that helped me in my business. I did some work for a guy and he promised to provide help, so I didn't have to go hire help. He lied about it. I said, you know what? Find somebody else to do this work. I'm done working for you. And you know what? Honestly, he's not a man of character. The man is not a man of character at all. He can't stay out of trouble. Old things have passed away. That word, passed away. You know, I remember the first time when I was starting to read, the first time I ever read the word passed away, and I knew what it meant. Nobody had to explain to me what passed away meant. It was my grandfather's obituary. James Milton Waddell of Sutton, West Virginia, passed away in a Gassaway hotel, in a Gassaway hospital after a brief illness. I knew he died. So I knew what passed away means. Those things are dead. Why are we looking for life in this happened to me? Why? Take this and become a better person. Take this, become an advocate. Take this and become stronger. What was meant to kill you didn't. Rejoice in that. The things that have come after you, they're not coming just to test you. They're coming to kill you. Saddam wasn't just testing people. He was going in and he wanted to kill. But he found out Americans were a little tougher than what he thought. His precious Republican Guard. Hundreds of them threw down their weapons and surrendered to 4 and 5 men at a time. One, they were starving. But we have to take what has happened and build on it. Become better people. Look out for those. Watch for the signs. Ladies, if you see a woman who looks like she might be abused, help her. This is what's wrong with this country. It's what's wrong with this world. It's none of my business. Well, I'm pretty sure that when Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? God said, yes, he is, you knucklehead. You are his keeper. You're supposed to look out for him. So when we see it in the church, why do we look away? I mean it when I tell any man, whoever comes in here and hears this, that if you are hitting your wife, please step outside with me. Because I may be younger and I may be smaller, but that makes me mad. And you know what made Jesus mad? Was how they were treating God's temple. That's how he found the power to flip them tables, whip those money changers. It was because he was passionate about something. He saw abuse and he dealt with it. We don't even have everything he did. The Bible says if all the books in the world couldn't hold everything that Jesus did in his life. He was lied on. He was betrayed by a friend with a kiss. Do you know how it was still an intimate sign? That's why he said, you betray me with a kiss? I mean, you, even though it was the custom, you still, especially that, you had to know the person. Otherwise, it was just... He actually kissed him on the cheek to signify. And then his number one man, Peter, I'll call him the number one, denied ever knowing him. How's that for friendship? Did Jesus say, well, you know, you betrayed me. I'll never trust you again, Peter. When he appeared to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? You know I do, Lord. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? You know I do, Lord. Feed my sheep. Do you know me? Do you love me? And this time Peter's getting angry. And then he breaks. You know I do, Lord. Then feed my lambs. Peter would go on to stand as a man of God. To the point that when they were going to crucify him, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. Hang me upside down. I would have said, do we really have to crucify me? But no, he stuck to it. He denied knowing Jesus. And I do believe, I've seen it in several renditions on film, that when after he said it, the third time he looked and there was Jesus staring right at him. Did it happen? I don't know for sure. But I believe that there's a real good possibility because that's what broke Peter. But Peter didn't lay around, but I betrayed him. Peter took it all the way to the cross. Jesus forgave me. I am not that spineless coward anymore. And I say coward in that return because Peter is the one that pulled a knife or a sword and got Malchus's ear that night because he's such a terrible combat that he missed the head and got the ear. He wasn't a coward in the terms of confrontation. It was when it was his reputation that was at stake. Something he couldn't, the narrative that he couldn't control. He could control violence. A lot of times, like I said, all you gotta do is act psycho. Most of the time, you got a good act, you're good to go. Because people will prey on the cowards, the ones that will cower back. But he didn't. He didn't stay back there where there was death. John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go and will go in and out and find pasture. Hold on right there. He said, I am the door. I'm the only way in. And whoever finds me, who comes in and enters, he will go in and out. He will find freedom, folks. Freedom from what? Freedom from yesterday. Because I can go back out. I'm not the same. Miss Vicki, I know you're not the same. But she has a testimony to tell people. And she doesn't tell it to tell people and gloat, look at me. She tells people because she was dying. They were calling in her family to say goodbye. How many years ago? 32 years ago. Now she's here helping send the gospel to people around the country, making sure you get your newsletter with a little bit of encouragement or just information and coming and worshiping with you. And even though she knows in her back how she got there, she doesn't let that define who she is today. And neither should we. We shouldn't let those things. Well, I'm just so broken. You got to get fixed. You got to get fixed. Jesus is an awesome mechanic. He's a great handyman. He can put things right back together. He built you the first time. He knows how you're wired. He can put you back together. Except now those things that when you thought about them, they used to, and that's how you know when you aren't 100%, haven't let it go, is they still hurt. It's time to pull the thorn out. If something's hurting you, there's a reason why. You've got, most of the time, it's forgiveness, folks. You've got to forgive. You can hate them, and it's going to kill you. Next verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Only Jesus is going to bring you that life. Dr. Phil ain't going to do a thing for you. Judge Judy, she can't get you justice. But Jesus can give you abundant life. He didn't come to kill. He has no part in death. The only part he had in death was when he took our sins. He took the blame of mankind. He took that all upon him. He went to hell. And the power of God brought him back. He had to know what it was like. And then when he resurrected, folks, he's standing there and he's like, hey, here I am. I'm not going to remember this any longer because it's in the past. It is death, and I came to bring you life. And if you keep sticking back or you keep going back, it's only going to kill you. The thief didn't come, so, hey, you know, Joe, you remember how cool you were back in the day, man? You know, had your Harley, your vest, you know, your hair all slicked back and all this stuff. Don't you want to be like that again? No. Because you really weren't cool. You weren't all that. We don't need to be. We don't need to try to become somebody else. God created Miss Brenda to be Miss Brenda and Miss Cheryl to be Miss Cheryl. He created them to be who they are. He knows their past. He knows what has happened. And He knows your future. By taking the Word of God and applying it into our lives, and first off, forgiving people, forgiving the hurts, and moving on, forgetting those things which lie behind, I strive for the high calling of Christ Jesus, so that we may see the future He has for us. He is not there anymore. He was in that grave. He was in death for 3 days. He's not there anymore. Why do we want to wallow in it? He wanted nothing to do with the death. God wanted nothing to do with death. That is why He created mankind to live forever. The tree of life, I do believe, was actually a superfood. I do believe that. A real superfood that nourished our bodies, that could help us rejuvenate. What is it? Our bodies, our organs actually are designed, they'll rejuvenate, what, every 7 years or something? You've constantly got new skin coming on. You got hair growing, well, most of the time. Sorry, guys. I believe that's part of the curse, too. But He had to take that away from us. Because who wants to live in their sin forever? I don't. And I believe now that what we got coming when Jesus returns is so much grander. As a matter of fact, Revelation says that in the New Jerusalem, in the center of the New Jerusalem, is the tree of life that we will be able to eat from forever. You can eat what you need. Do you know you won't want to just overeat? You just eat, you're done. You go do what you got to do. You want to have sit down and have a feast? You have a feast. No calories really to it. No fat that's going to hang around in places you don't want it. I think about those commercials all the time when I'm eating a honey bun or something. You know the ones, they show the honey bun on your butt. I'm thinking, well, for guys, it's right here. But we're not supposed to be living in the past. God gave us a future. Life. Life is in our future. Life is not in our past. We have experiences that can help us. That's it. I call upon my time on active duty. It helps me a lot. But I also call upon times of other things. I remember sometimes when I was a jerk. And I shouldn't treat people like that. I won't treat people like that. Do you have to be firm sometimes? Absolutely. Some people take it as being a jerk. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I always thought my drill instructors were just jerks. I thought that those four men are demon-possessed. They're straight out of the pit of hell. There's nothing good in them. One day I was talking with Doc Barclay, and I was telling him, and he said, and I said something, because he had been a drill instructor. And I said something after that, and he looked, and he said, "Your drill instructors did their job. Because of your attitude now." And I look back and I get it. I know there's times up here I'm like, you're thinking, "Oh, I wish he wouldn't talk about my past. I don't want to bring it up." You're the one bringing it up. You think people can't hear it? When we see you struggling and you can't get free, it's because you're allowing it to define your future. And I look and see those drill instructors, and they weren't nice. One of them was only this tall. "Boys, I ain't your mama." And I can't finish out what he said, rest of the point. I really can't. There's no way to clean it up. But we got the hint. He was making us to be men. And the day that I told him thank you, he thought I came to yell at him. He was at my neighbor's house on base housing. "Honey, you see that short guy?" She's like, "Yeah." I said, "That was one of my drill instructors. He's going into Bobby's house." Bobby's a recon ranger. I said, "He's going into Bobby's house." Hey, Art, what's up, man? "Hey, Bobby, is that Staff Sergeant Ken?" I swear I'd never forget his last name, but I know his first name. "Is that Staff Sergeant so-and-so?" "Yeah." "Why?" I said, "He was my drill instructor." Oh, the big grin he got. He just stopped. He said, "Hey, Ken, one of your recruits wants to talk to you." Mind you, I'm a non-commissioned officer at this point. I'm an E4. He comes up. He looks at me. I said, "You don't remember me." "I know." I said, "Well, you had hundreds of us." He said, "No, I don't." He said, "Listen, I just want to start this preface. That's Parasite." I said, "Oh, man." I said, "Staff Sergeant, I wasn't here to yell at you." I said, "I know you made us men. I'm here to thank you." He just... He's like, "Wow, okay." Sometimes you got to be a little tough. But you don't have to always be a jerk, because he wasn't. Because there were times we got to actually see he's a human being, especially towards the end when they were trying to make us become humans again. He'd joke, but he's the one that introduced us to planks. But just because somebody challenged you on your pet sin, and that's what it is, when you hold on to it, it is sin. It's a harm that was done to you. You refuse to forgive. And now you're going to start creating a tower around it. Well, Jesus will knock it down if he wants it down. He didn't want you to build it to begin with. So no, he won't, because you won't give it to him. Because here's what happened. "Oh, Jesus, please take this. Please, please." And then the first time you get a little uncomfortable. "Oh, I need that back." It becomes our comfort. Becomes our security blanket. We keep falling back on those things that are they're dead. Don't let those things define your future. You know, that's one of the hardest things for Vietnam vets to get over. The things they had to do. And the ones that I've had to talk to about that, it's in the past. First, it's in the past. Second, you're under orders. You did what you had to do. I did things I had to do. I didn't like them, didn't want to do them, but I had to do them. I'm not the responsible authority. And when they can start getting past that, they can forgive the officer. They can forgive themselves. Then they can start moving forward and having a life. And just the same thing with our veterans today that are coming home, that have come home from Iraq and Afghanistan. The things they had to do. They didn't want to, but they had to do them. Don't be stuck in yesterday. There's no future in it. Time doesn't really keep slipping into the future. It keeps slipping behind us. our future. We're the ones going into the future. Time is spent. You never get it back. So why hold on to it? I don't see any point in it anymore. Choose to forgive. Choose to move on. Choose to live. And you know what? And I don't remind the devil of his future. I know that's the greatest thing Christians like. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Why? Why do I need to bring an accusation against him? The Bible says that even Michael didn't bring an accusation against him when they were fighting over the body of Moses. He said even Michael didn't bring an accusation against him. Why do we feel we need to even address him? Why are we wasting our time talking to the devil? Go to God. If you got something that keeps coming up back here, say, okay, God, am I harboring a... What am I holding on to? I don't want to hold on to it anymore. I want forgiveness. And move on. And then you remind yourself whenever that stuff... I'm forgiven. They're forgiven. Amen? All right. Let's stand. Sounded like the peace might have lifted in the nursery. Don't think I had anything else. Okay. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you right now, Father, that Jesus came to bring us life and not death. And Lord, I pray right now that you help us all to realize he is not there any longer. He is living. We'll never find him in the dead. He is in the future where the life is. He is in the now where the life is. Father, help us to finally let go of these things that we're using to define who we are. Lord God, we are not victims of something somebody else did to us. We refuse to hold on any longer to what people have said, what people have done, what people have thought. Lord, we're not the victim. You said all things are new. We are new creations in Christ, and we receive what that means. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. So Lord, I pray right now that your power will just permeate our hearts. Every part of our being, Lord God, that we will continue to forgive, continue to move, continue to grow, and continue to live. And now, Father, first off, we do pray for your love to permeate the Thompson family. Lord, wrap Brian, the kids, the grandkids, wrap them in your love. Keep them, Father. Father, we know that our sister is rejoicing with you. She is no longer in pain. Father, we pray that you help those that are left behind to deal with the loss for just a short time. And now, Lord God, I bless your people today. Father, I pray that your hand continues to move in their lives. Father, you continue to lead them, continue to guide them. Father, direct every step that they take. In Jesus' name, amen.